Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Tired of being overcoached, oversold, and undersupported? Maybe it's time to ditch everyone else's blueprint and finally trust your own. I'm excited today to introduce you to Kristen Franny from Your Compass Within. And today we're going to talk about that topic. So welcome to the show, Kristen.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I am always interested to find out someone's story. What got you into the business that you're in, and what took you in the direction that you're now, the topic that you're covering about being overcoached and not listening to yourself? How did this all come about?
Well, long story short, I was in corporate leadership for over 20 years. So I worked coaching people, developing people. When that part of my career ended, it was a no-brainer to start working with women. And through that, I've come to be very aligned with working with women who have unique types of businesses. They're just the people that naturally found me. And most of them have been trying to cram themselves into doing things a certain way. And what I've been really good at doing is figuring out, okay, well, how can we just unpack all of that and stop doing that? And so I kind of was bridging this period of time where I was sort of a life coach and I was sort of a business coach. And through my journey of learning what works for me and how to expand my business, I have tried practically everything under the sun. And what I've come to learn through that is they're all right. There's not anything wrong with any of these business strategies that are out there. And there are a lot of people that are really successful through any one of them. But if we're picking and trying on the one that doesn't work for us, we're not going to be as successful as we want to be. We're going to start running into some resistance of some sort. And as women, especially, we tend to take on a lot of extra responsibility. We tend to have a whole lot of self-sabotaging self-talk. We tend to make ourselves feel wrong when something else isn't working. And so what I have found is that when we can stop trying to be all of the things and ways that everyone else wants us to be, and we start to going to sound a little overused or is a little overused, but we can start to give ourselves grace and then move from there, right? We can say, okay, so this isn't working for me. That's okay. What is working? What can I do? And we really get back to what that root is of what we want and moving from there. So it all kind of came together through my own trial and error, through my own clients, through learning what works for each of them, from trying on plenty of strategies myself. And combining all of the deep transformational work that I do with my clients to overcome what those narratives and stories are that we hold on to.
I love that. So you talked a little bit about women in unique businesses. So I'm curious to hear a little more about that.
Well, I've worked with people who have done all sorts of things. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I've struggled with in my business is we're told, you know, niche down, work with this one particular type of person. And what I've learned through that is that, yes, I get to work with a particular type of person, but they do a whole lot of different stuff. They're all multi-passionate. A lot of them are multi-hyphenate themselves. They do a whole lot of different things. I've worked with women who have led everything from fairly corporate seeming businesses, you know, or traditional businesses like education software that they sold and educational programs to women who have been on their 672nd life on this planet and or just life in general. And they're trying to find their purpose to make sure that it is, you know, the best experience that they can have. And how can they set up, you know, something that aligns with them and just figuring out what that looks like. So it's run the gamut. You know, a lot of people are online service providers, doing good in the world and wanting to make a shift somehow in the collective through how they're showing up and through the work that they're doing.
You're talking about proven systems can sometimes feel like sandpaper. I love that. So do you want to elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah. So As an example, like there are very basics within business that are foundational, right? If we want to have clients, we need to talk to people. That's a basic. They're not just going to magically appear one day. But the ways that we can get there and talk to people, we can learn and we can start to work with how we like to operate. So as an example, you know, I, for example, joined a coaching program. And from everything I saw at the beginning, it felt really good. It was about, you know, working with your feminine energy, and it wasn't too woo-woo and out there, but, you know, really not being in the bro marketing space, which I think is important for some of us. And so it felt really warm and genuine and, you know, like a place I wanted to be in. And I was learning some stuff. And then as we got into like the next level of work and the next level, okay, now you've got this foundation you're going to build on here. And then ultimately what it was doing is moving us along into speaking on stages. Now, I am really not comfortable speaking in front of big groups of people. So all of this other stuff was great. And now I was being told, okay, so if you want your next level of success, you have to speak on stages. I'm not really a public speaker. My natural talents lean me towards writing, towards one-to-one conversation, to being a little bit more off the cuff. I'm not great at having a whole lot prepared and then having to like speak to that. So the foundations were great, but had I then forced myself into continuing on, that strategy felt like sandpaper. It was going against everything in my being that feels good and natural and the way I like to operate. And so what tends to happen is a lot of folks say, okay, well, I just have to figure it out. I just have to get good at this thing. I just have to keep swimming uphill, or, you know, keep swimming upstream and keep going against the grain and keep having it feel really difficult, when we don't have to have it feel difficult. It gets to feel easy. And the trick is simply leaning into what we're good at, figuring out what that is. And sometimes that's in finding someone that can help pull that out of you, because we've been told success looks a certain way. We've been told you have to be loud. You have to be in front of people. You have to do a certain thing. You have to build a big audience. You have to do this. And so we can get caught up in all the minutiae along the way. And then it's feeling really like there's a whole lot of friction, and often that friction, that sandpaper, you know, it probably resonates, you know, when people hear that, it's like, oh yeah, I've been there. It just feels rough. When we can strip that away, it gets to feel a whole lot easier and more fluid.
It's so true. And I think with women, sometimes you see them, it's almost like they want to show up as someone else. You know, it's like they're not good enough, or they're not worthy of success. And we talk a lot about this when we talk about content creation and video marketing or hosting a podcast. You know, people are attracted to you when you're actually yourself. You know, I know, Jeannie, the word authentic kind of drives her crazy because it's so overused. But if you just show up as yourself, I think people that are your ideal clients will be attracted to you, and you'll resonate with them. And if you're trying to be someone else, if you do land clients, they're not your clients, because they were attracted to this person, the show, this persona that you put on. And, you know, I like to say, if you see me here on a call and we have a conversation on the street, I talk with my hands all the time, right? So what you see is what you get. And so I think it's really important for people to figure out, how do they come to the table in their business, bringing, like you said, their gifts, their skills, and not trying to fit themselves into a box, whether it's with their marketing or, you know, whatever they're doing in their business, to be able to tune in and figure out if it's right for them. And I think that's something Jeannie and I are lucky, because we do get to tune into, you know, both very intuitive. So we do lean into what works. And we have to respect the fact that sometimes something that might work for Jeannie wouldn't work for me. Like, for example, she loves public speaking. I'm like you, I hate it, Kristen. I don't want to do it. But by looking at what we like doing and where our unique abilities are, then we can support each other to do those things within the business, rather than, like you said, trying to find, it's like one path fits everyone, one size fits all t-shirt, you know?
Exactly. It's that one size fits all t-shirt, but it's too small for you, you know? So it feels like really tight and restrictive, and it doesn't fit. One of the things that I work with my clients on is figuring out who your favorite self is. And I love that you came into this term of, you know, authenticity, because oftentimes too, I think that we're fed an ideal version, you know, become your highest self, be your best self. And that intrinsically and inherently brings along a whole lot of judgment. What does that look like? And we've been conditioned to behave a certain way through society, through culture, through our families, through our communities that we're in, that we get used to showing up in certain ways and with certain patterns, and they become our default, but they're not necessarily our true mode of operating. They might be things that we've been carrying with us since we were 10 years old and somebody said something mean to us. And we might not even remember what that situation is, but we came up with a coping mechanism and we've been carrying that, and it's been getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we've gone along life and we've had our lived experience. And so I actually step my clients away from trying to become your best, most authentic self. And we lean into finding who is your favorite self. And there's a whole lot of work that we do along with that. And who, when you're showing up in your most favorite ways, when you're having the most fun, when you're feeling most aligned, who is that? What, and not what does everybody say it needs to look like, not what does everybody else expect from you, but you know, what is your favorite day? If you could design your favorite day of working, what would that look like? And what would you be doing? What does your favorite self wear? You know, not what do you put on every day when you get up and it's the easiest thing to grab from the closet, but what does your favorite self actually wear? And this is one of the most effective things I do with my clients. I've had, you know, recently one person, she was stuck. She's had a really successful business as a financial coach, but she wanted to move into health and nutrition coaching for moms. So it was, you know, sitting really close to her heart. She's a mom. She had, you know, turned her health around and she knew how different she felt. But everything felt like it was going to be an uphill battle, that she was going to have to recreate everything the same way and doing all the same things that she had done for her financial coaching. So she knew how to grow a business, but it all felt really huge and intimidating and like it was going to be difficult. So we leaned into, okay, so what's your favorite self? You know, we do some work on that. And I said, so what would your favorite self do today if she was growing this business? Oh, I'm just going to talk to my mom friends. Like, okay. So does that feel now like it's big and overwhelming and it's going to be difficult? And she said, oh my God, no. She's like, I can't actually wait to get off this call and go and talk to them. Like now all of a sudden I know exactly what my messaging is. Like she wanted to hone it a little bit. She said, but I've got my messaging. I know what offer I'm going to put out. Like all the stuff that she had been sitting there trying to think into existence just sort of magically appeared, right? It's not magically appeared, but she removed the resistance that was telling her that it was going to be hard, saw an easy path that felt really good for her. And she said, you know, almost immediately, oh my God, I know exactly who I need to talk to. I have this person who does this and we can run this little local event and it's going to be great. She said, I don't need to be, you know, having this huge business with it, but I get to make the impact that I want to make with my people. And all I need to do is call up my friends. The version of the you that feels most natural. And, you know, I agree, Jeannie, that, you know, authenticity and you being your authentic self is a little overused. And I think part of why it's overused is because we don't necessarily get into what that root is of, okay, so what is your authentic self? And so a lot of people can hear that, show up authentically. It's like, yeah, but the hell does that mean? Because we've got so much other stuff that we're carrying with us.
Yeah, that's totally true. I love remove the resistance. I think that's really so important and such a key. And it's funny because I was clicking through the channels the other day and there was a program on and it was the two people who hosted like What Not to Wear. But the program was about bringing people on and having them dress the way they want to, that way that makes them feel good instead of, you know, what society says is okay for, you know, this job or that job. So I thought that was such a great concept that kind of mimics what you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that. And hopefully there's more of this coming in because, you know, I think that, you know, individuality is super important. I like to think of it like we're all part of a tapestry. And if we were all the same color thread, it would be a really boring tapestry. And so, you know, some of us are the little thin gold lines and some of us are the, you know, sturdier, darker colors that provide the shadow. And we need all of those and we need all of us to show up in those in order to have richness of experience. And, you know, the experience would just not be very fun if we were all the same.
It's funny because I feel like, you know, in the online space, especially there is, you know, make $1 million in 20 minutes by doing this, right? There's just so much out there that, you know, not saying a person can't build a $1 million business quickly, but you're not going to build it in 20 minutes. And I think what happens is it sets a lot of unrealistic expectations. And then they also give them things to do that may or may not work for them, like you said, but then it makes people feel like a failure when they can't make it work. And we talk a lot about the fact that in this day and age, you know, having an online business doesn't necessarily mean that you can't locally network and bring in clients. I like to say there's usually $1 million in most people's backyards. So if your content hasn't taken off, if your community hasn't been built and you really want to build your business, maybe get out there and network. See who in your area needs your help and your service, because there are people there who will need it. But what happens is I think we get sold this, you know, this lie that you can just sit on your laptop, you know, and do these things and make millions. And for some people, like you master Google Ads or Facebook Ads, and that's true. You can maybe grow a huge business a few hours a day on your business on your computer because you like nail how to like your ads and your service are just so dialed in, but it may take a while to get there. So I love the fact that you're asking people to look into themselves and figure out what feels right for them, and then figuring out ways to make it happen. Because again, no one's path is exactly the same. And I do know, like Jeannie and I, we took a class, we bought a course, and we joked there's two of us and it felt like a full-time job. So at the end of the day, you know, we only have so many hours to learn and to do those types of things on top of actually servicing our clients and building our businesses. So I think the advice that you're giving is really important, to tune in to what feels right. And then it's okay if you don't finish a course or something. If you get halfway through and it's not right, then you learn what you've learned and you stop.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head too with, you know, how so many people see all of these big giant promises of, oh, we'll insert you into our system. And so there's this theory that as soon as you set up online, you're going to have the big fancy lifestyle. I bought into that. You know, I was, when my job had finished, I was in Bali and I'm going to be a digital nomad and I'm going to have, you know, six figures coming in. I'm going to match my corporate income in no time. And it took me 6 months to get my website set up, because I had no idea what I was doing. It was ready, and then I would change it, and it was ready, and I would change it. And then I finally launched it. I'm like, okay, this is it. Business is open. And my mom looked at my website, like, yay. And it was tough because, too, I was there, and there were other people that were showing that they were having these huge successful businesses. And, you know, they're on their social media feeds, of course, you know, they're sipping Mai Tais and working with clients. And I couldn't even find an internet connection that was stable enough to host a call. It's like, what am I doing wrong? And what I didn't take into account is one, what their existing network might have already been. You know, they might already have had clients that might not have been their sole source of income. So many other things that were going on. And, you know, any strategy will work. But what we often aren't being shown is what the most successful people who are selling that, they've got something that they're trying to sell. So they're not going to show you the friction points. They're only going to show you the easy things, which isn't real life. And also, you know, we're not then necessarily taking into account, like, what are they already bringing to the table? You know, do they already have a really large existing network? You know, reach out to people that you know. You know, well, if you don't have a very big network of people that are your dream client, it might take you a little bit longer to build that network up. And it's not to say that it's not going to work, but also that, you know, I think, you know, we can get stuck in this whole cost fallacy and we keep plodding along doing something for a little bit too long. And we have to get really honest with ourselves and say, okay, is this working or is it not? You know, we have to take time to have CEO days, you know, to come out of our business and look at what's really happening, which can be hard when often for solopreneurs, because there's not another sounding board. There's not another person that's there. And so we have to say, okay, maybe it doesn't feel like I hit that milestone that so-and-so promised I was going to hit, but what have I done? What are the success points that I've had along the way? How can I grow on those? And maybe that's where the secret sauce is, instead of, you know, how can I improve this tiny little thing that's not working and hope for the best that that's what, you know, the magic thing, the magic bullet that's going to turn everything around overnight, what is already working and how can I go bigger on that? Because that's also removing friction. That's making things easier. So if it's more comfortable to get out and network and talk to people and, you know, just tell people in the coffee shop what you do and get curious and ask questions. You know, it's as important to get curious about who's in your network as it is to get curious about what's happening with you and how our resistance is sometimes creating that feeling of sandpaper. And I think, you know, there's a whole lot of different ways that we can do that, you know, and making sure that we're not just leading with the emotional side of our business. We're also looking at the more tangible and analytical side, because we're business owners and we're not going to get to that next level if we're not making sound business decisions in it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we specialize in outsourcing, and the first thing Jeannie outsourced many years ago when she started her marketing agency was her bookkeeping. And so not long ago, we rolled out a bookkeeping program with virtual bookkeepers overseas. And it is amazing that one of the things I think that drains our energy and causes us to not have clarity is the fact that we try doing things that we really hate doing and that we're not good at, right? So like Jeannie and I always like to say, if you can hand something off, you know, for $6 to $10 an hour, why would you keep doing it? And there's so much freedom in understanding that you don't have to be perfect at everything and you don't have to be able to do everything in your business, that you deserve to have support in your business. And Jeannie, I think for you, like you really expressed like what a game changer that was for you on your mental health and your creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was the guilt of coming in my office every day and seeing a stack of receipts, knowing that, you know, I should be inputting these. It's not hard. It's not rocket science, but I don't want to do it. But it was, you know, daily. And then, you know, thinking of all these other things bookkeeping wise that I wasn't getting done, you know, reviewing my numbers, that type of thing. So once I did hand that off, it was like this huge burden had been lifted off my shoulders. And I was like, oh, I feel free. Like I felt like I could be the creative person that I loved being, and I could be more, you know, of me. And that was just something, I guess I never even realized it until, you know, I did outsource it. And then it was lovely.
But, you know, it's so true that, you know, and the mental bandwidth and the amount of energy that goes into, oh, I should do this, I should do that, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that, means that you don't have the energy to show up on the things that you actually love to do. And so, you know, it's figuring out, you know, and you found a great solution for you. And so that's what I really enjoy helping my clients with is, okay, so where's the friction point? How can we solve that? What's the best solution for you? In solving that, one of the things I've been working with a little bit is, you know, human design. We're all wired differently, you know, like not all of us show up with the exact same skills and gifts. And so why not rely on each other in different ways to be able to get us that support that we need?
I love that. I love that. So it sounds like you have so many things to offer for so many different types of businesses. So Kristen, tell us a little bit about, if people are listening and I'm wondering, wow, I really want to talk to her and maybe want to work with her, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
The best way to reach out right now is on Instagram, or they can drop me an email at kristen@yourcompasswithin.co, not .com. And I will open up a conversation. There's a whole lot of freebies and low-cost ways of, you know, testing out the work that I do on my Instagram and the links at the top. My website is in design because I'm changing my branding. Hopefully that's up and running by the time we're live, but it might not be still. So Instagram is the best. And then we just have a conversation, see what's the best way to move forward and what support somebody's looking for. And if I'm not the best support, then I might know somebody who is.
Kristen, this has been such a delight. And I just love everything that you're doing. And we appreciate you being that kind of person who can help others, you know, grow their business. So thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.